The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to a Mission Minded. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, Michael Coleman. I'm Tony Curry. We do the show every single week. And it's a great show because, we talk non-for-profits, and of course we have a bite-by-bite show we do right after this, as you can also hear on Tony Curry Radio, and we play those things at least five times a week. But this is all about business, and so you and I were speaking prior to the show. First of all, how are you doing, sir? You doing good? Everything fine?
Yeah. It's been a very interesting week for me, personally and professionally, but good things. And, going through some transitions in life, and that's always a little mind occupying when you're trying to do things. So if I sound crazy today, I just ask for the audience's mercy that I've got several things running through my head right now. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for forgiveness. That's right now, if I get to rambling even more than I normally do.
Brother, we love you and we've got your back, and I know what some of those things are. And you've spoken about those things a lot on this show about, when you're dealing with employees, you're dealing not only with the employee that what they're doing in their office, but what happens the other 14, 15 hours when they're not there. Yeah. So certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to you. One of those things I think is really interesting. I'm going to say I was blessed to stand in the parking lot at Valleydale Baptist Church for 3.5 hours on election day. And I will say this. I almost felt like I needed to tell people how I felt about the elections, not which side I was on, because I didn't tell anybody which side I was on. And quite frankly, I didn't know who I was voting for until I sat down in front of the ballot. I said a prayer and it came to me. That's how tight it was for me. But we had a guy with a scooter in front of us. He had the Trump MAGA hat on. He had the sign on the back, and I'm kind of like, and he was 90 something years old. And I'm like, okay, people that put signs out in their yard, I'm probably not going to have a relationship with those people. I don't get it. I mean, I'm just kind of like, it just kind of shoves it in your face. I'm not going to like them any more, any less based on which way they're going to vote. That really kind of pisses me off, to be honest with you, because then you see a Trump, and then you'll see right next to him a Harris sign. He's like, well, how do those two get along? So save your signs. So I was talking to a guy who obviously was squarely in the Trump camp. And then the woman in front of me was squarely in the Kamala Harris camp. And I said, it's funny because we talk about how divided this country is, and we may be divided in the way we look at our, and I know from the common vote, it was about 50, 50, 51, 49. Obviously in Alabama, we're highly Republican. So chances are we're going to get along with our own a lot better than we would if we moved out to California. Okay.
Sure.
If you took Alabama and moved to next to California, would we have the Hatfield McCoys? We might. So I took that into account, but I also said, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see where we can't get along, because the sun's still going to come up tomorrow morning. It ain't going to be Saturday before we know who the winner is. There's no conspiracy going on here. We have the best election. There was some organization out in Utah that brought in all these electoral people from all over the world to see how we do our voting process. And there was like 80 different countries that are involved, and every one of them said, we have the best voting system in the world. It's amazing, because some countries go years before they can figure out who in the hell won their election. Here we know within 12 or 13 hours. It's amazing. And we're talking 160 something million people, but 360 million people. It really is. We're just so damn spoiled. And I said, I'm sitting here having a conversation with you, and you obviously are going Kamala Harris. I'm having a conversation with you. A guy behind me started getting on my nerves a little bit because he started talking politics, and he started throwing things out. You could tell by the way I was reacting. He's like, oh, I guess you don't feel that way. And I said, no, I said, I'm just not going to, I'm not, we've been talking about this for 4 years. I'm here to vote, and I'm ready to go on. If you want to talk about the Cincinnati Reds or talk about college football or something, let's go. And we did. But certainly in the workplace, it's a little differently. Now, in a state like Pennsylvania, where it is right down the middle, 50-50, you may have more people that don't get along in the workplace or in line to vote. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that impression happens in our workplace as well, when we're talking about something that is as passionate as politics in this country?
Yeah. So we have 50 employees. We have some employees here that are incredibly engaged in what's going on, intimately involved and aware, follow the issues, can articulate the issues. And of course, unfortunately, when there's an election, some people come in and you see long faces. So it doesn't take you long in this particular case to see who was supporting Harris. And in other cases, there's people who have big smiles. And of course, in this case, they're supporting Trump. One of the things I try to do, and I've talked about this before, is be very careful and not present. You know, my goal is if I could lead this organization.
By the way, is there a reason you're wearing a blue shirt today for today's show? I just wanted to know because you got the red behind you, but you got a really solid blue shirt. I just want to make sure that we knew what. Just kidding. Go ahead. Continue. Go ahead.
No, it's good. No, there's no hidden messages there. So the problem is, and I see it all the time. So I'll just give you an example. I had an employee, one of my directors, and I walked by and her office, and I just said, "Hey, how you doing?" "Well, this whole election has me frazzled." And I was like, "Oh, really?" I mean, I didn't know what her politics were. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Yeah." And then she just rattles off all these things about why this was a mistake. And she's trying to explain the results of the election. And I didn't challenge any of that. I just listened. Mm-hmm. The same thing happened. We have Trump supporters and they are happy and exuberant. And they're talking about why the country is going to be saved. And I didn't agree or disagree. I just listened. Where I come from, and I've expressed this many times, is I don't want to do anything under the banner of a political party for that very reason. And I've been guilty of it in the past. If you embrace a political party, you almost feel compelled to endorse every bit, every action under that political party, whether you're Democrat or Republican. Mm-hmm. And that's what you see on TV. What you don't see very much are people saying, "All right, let's look at this particular policy. In this case, Donald Trump's policy, this individual policy, whatever it is, based on the facts, seems to be a good policy." Or you could look at it and say, "Well, but you look at this policy of Donald Trump, it doesn't seem to be as effective." So instead of going in and saying, because and looking at it honestly and just saying, "Hey, we're not toting the water for the Democrats or the Republicans. Let's just look at what's working and what's not." But what happens is you have pundits. And so anything good that happens to a Republican or anything good that happens to under a Democrat administration, it doesn't matter if it's good for the country. The other side is going to trash it and trash the person and personal. So it's an all or nothing mentality. Mm-hmm. And I see that coming out in the supporters who feel comfortable talking about what their own personal views are. So it's the apocalypse coming right now because Kamala Harris, because Trump's back in office with some. It's doomsday. It's mm-hmm. not, "Oh, I wish that hadn't happened." And then the reverse is true. "Oh, Trump's the savior. He's elected. So now everything's going to be," and we know that's not true. But it's easier, but it's intellectually lazy. And that's what probably bothers me the most, is when somebody just endorses everything about Trump or hates everything about Trump, then that right there tells me a lot about their engagement in the political process.
Does it also tell you about how they deal with other people in their life?
It can be very telling that people see, that they don't see nuance very well, that they don't live in what I describe as the gray area of life. And the reason is because I think we as a country are so intellectual lazy mm-hmm. that we don't want to go through and think through and then challenge ourselves and be intellectually, not just lazy, but then it requires us to look at ourselves and challenge ourselves and to go through and say, "You know what? this belief here is not consistent with this belief here. So, and how do I balance that out? And what it ultimately means is I'm going to have to change my position to make it more consistent, because they seem to be, but this Republican Party or the Democrat Party endorses all this. I've got to do it. So instead of looking at each issue and say, well, over here, I think I side with Trump on this issue. Over here, you know, I would favor Kamala more. So you're weighing it all out. But most people are not like that. Most people are like, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican, and it's all or nothing.
I will say this. I do think there are more people in the middle than there ever has been, because I like some of the policies of the Democrats. I like some of the policies of the Republicans. I have voted both Republican and Democrat last two elections. And some people think that's crazy. I know that right at the top of the ballot says straight Republican, straight Democrat. Yeah. That's the way my dad did. I mean, he's straight Republican. Just hit the, all you got to do is do that and you're done to go. Maybe that's because he didn't want to spend 15 minutes voting on things he didn't know he was talking about. But until we have a choice to pick someone down the middle, then we're forced to elect the lesser of two evils. And I think that's what makes it really difficult for a lot of people in this country, because I mean, I think a lot of people feel like you and I do. I know where you come from and I know where I come from. And you were spot on right at the beginning of this show. You said, man, if you go in with Donald Trump or Kamala Harris, you're all of a sudden supposed to be a proponent of everything they believe in, everything from abortion rights to the way they run the economy, to the, what they're going to do with immigration. And it's just not true, because normally, I mean, I wish I could take both those people, put them together and create something that, that has policies that I like from both. I mean, continue.
Well, and the way my mind works, for better or for worse, is I always ask, okay, that's a reality. What you just said is 100% true. That's the current state. So then I say, okay, we've got to then, okay, that's one layer. Let's peel that layer back and see what's underneath that. Why do we end up in this oversimplistic all or nothing mentality? I'm vote Republican. Because really, if you think about hundreds of millions of dollars were spent to sway about 10% of the public that was undecided. And even those undecided, for the most part, are not uninformed. Some of those could undecided lean Republican, undecided lean Democrat. So, but I want to know, to really influence somebody on a position, how do we do that? I mean, if you not necessarily influence somebody, I shouldn't say it like that, but to just understand what the problem is, what we're seeing is how the problem manifests itself, which is you, it's an either or. The question is, what drives us to do that? Why is there such division? Why isn't it like the Tip O'Neills, who was Speaker of the House back in the day, Ronald Reagan, and they would fight vigorously for their positions, but go share a beer after work? Mm-hmm. Why has it gotten so nasty? And I've said this before, you know, I just remember when Reagan said, hey, I'm going to fight for my issues vigorously. If I can get 70% of what I want, I will give the other person 30%. I'm going to plant my flag at that 70%. And then I'll compromise on the other 30%, but I'll fight for the other 30% on another day.
Yeah.
But this is both parties. They're like, it's 100% or nothing. And so because compromise is now interpreted as weakness, failure to stand up for what you believe in and all that. But when you have people that are, this country is virtually split right down the middle, compromise is a good thing, because you don't have extremes on either side of the political spectrum taking charge. And so you get a bunch of people in the room, nobody in that room is going to be able to dictate everything they want. And that was one of the things that Trump, I think, came to terms with. Well, I don't want to say he came to terms with it. He recognized it right away. Was he came in, I'm president, I want this, 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 and this. And then he found out, well, Democrats can have all sorts of, in the legislative branch, have all sorts of ways to delay that. It's the same way Republicans do that to Biden. Mm-hmm. So you can't just come in and demand, I'm going to want this, I'm going to want that. It's all this got to work together. So when you look at, if you take this back to a work culture, it's very much, if your culture is, hey, everybody gets a seat at the table, everybody has a perspective, and we're not going to crap all over them personally because their perspectives differ than what my own are. The way that we have got to get back to having honest discussions and saying, instead of saying, you disagree with me on abortion, therefore you are evil, or you disagree with me on tax policy, so you can't, you're a socialist, or you don't see this in the role of government and faith like I do, so you're not even a true believer in Jesus. Those kind of lambastic things are very dangerous, because it doesn't just stay in the political spectrum. It bleeds over into, oh, my neighbor's a Democrat or my other neighbor's a Republican. I don't trust them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have anything to do with them. And so caring for your neighbor goes away because we have these labels on us, and I hate the label. And if you wear the label, therefore I hate you.
Yeah, I do think we are a country of poor winners. We've been poor losers. I mean, everyone's a poor loser, but, for some reason in this country, and maybe it has something to do with social media, because I'm trying to think what has really changed over the last 10 to 15 years. And we all have a voice now. You know, it used to be politics, sex, and religion. You didn't talk about those three things ever. You certainly do that in a mixed family, and you wouldn't normally do it in your own family. Now it's like, you can't start a conversation without one of those three. And usually it's politics. And I guess it's another way for some of us to feel like, have I ever smoked a cigarette? Yeah, I've smoked a cigarette with somebody that I didn't know, but I wanted to get to know them a little bit better. So I'm like, yeah, I'd smoke a cigarette in hopes that I would obviously wouldn't get addicted to it. But we had this common ground to do. Yeah. And, you know, I've got a friend of mine who it's a woman. She's my age. She loves Donald Trump. I love that man. And I mean, this guy has got felonies. I have no doubt that this happened with the Playboy bunny. I mean, I have no doubt that all this stuff happened. Yeah. And I'm looking at her, and she's got two daughters, and I'm like, and she believes that Kamala was actually at one of these P. Diddy parties where he was doing the freak out. I said, really? Do you really believe that? She's like, oh yeah. And I was like, and so I can't have a conversation with a person like that, because it's just too crazy. But I mean, I pray for those people, but you know, we used to have a softball team in our building. And there was enough people that we had two teams. And so we played each other. One team was always better than the other. And man, we played on Sundays, and we used to give the other side all kinds of hell on Mondays. And you could tell it started to get on their nerves. And I'm kind of like, you know, we're sore losers. You know, we're having fun here. We're doing it to raise. The only reason we have a softball team is to raise the emotional and the spiritual foundation of what we're doing here together. So we're on the same page. We can have fun playing with each other outside this office building. Which is what politics is, because you don't follow politics inside of an office building. It's outside. And so it's like, shut up. You won the game. That's why we shake hands after games. You know, that's why I have a real issue with people who don't want to shake hands after games. I just, and again, then you've got half of America who's got some type of moniker. You don't even know who the hell they are on social media. They can say whatever they want. I mean, I could put out a picture of, you know, I've mentioned I got off social media for a while and I haven't been back on. I post a picture of my daughter in a beautiful Easter dress, and someone's got something. Is that the kind of girl you used to see stripping up at Sammy? I'm like, come on, what are we doing here? I mean, what you know? So,
well, that's where politics has taken us, and I go back to what I was saying earlier about being intellectually lazy. It used to be you could take this in the faith arena. If you were a Methodist or a Baptist or Pentecostal or Catholic, whatever it was, you knew what your denomination stood for. In other words, people would say, I'm a Methodist because I believe this about Jesus, these particular doctrinal tenets. It was not a judgment against. It's just, hey, when I interpret the scripture, this is what I believe. They would read newspapers and they would be informed about the issues and they would make educated choices. Then you have a real debate of ideas where, you know, you can get down into the weeds sometimes, and they would say, okay, you know, this is what I believe is right. And they were not exempt from some of that. Hey, I was raised in this family. I'll always be this type. You know, I'm going to raise my kids this way, my grandkids, whatever. But it was just a different dynamic. It wasn't the hatred and the demonization of one another that we see in our world today. So I go back and talk about this because the simple is, tell me what's right. Now, when I was younger, I was very dogmatic about politics. It didn't matter what the subject is, truthfully. I was incredibly dogmatic, you know, in our 20s when we got it all figured out. Mm-hmm. Well, if I still believe the same thing in my 50s that I do in my 20s, I've just wasted 30 years. Because life is going to teach you that it's not black and white. It's mm-hmm. all full of nuance. I have policies. I tell the employees this all the time. All our policies are in black and white. They're very clear to read. But when you take written policies and apply them to individuals, the black and white goes away, because there, when individuals come to you for assistance, there's a myriad of variables in there that you cannot anticipate, that sometimes if you only look at the rules, then it's going to preclude you from being able to help people. So I'm like, okay, I want you to know the rules, but I want you to know more so what are the intent of the rules? And if the rule itself is getting in the way of helping somebody, but the intent is not, yeah, then we're going to follow the intent of the law and not the rule of the law. So, and I learned that. And so then you're saying, okay, well then who interprets that? It gets very gray sometimes. And it's not a clear black and white. Oh, this person deserves food. This person deserves government assistance. This person does not. It gets very messy and it gets very different shades of gray. And when people go through that, though, it draws you into people's situations. I can have more empathy for somebody because I can take the time to not just classify them in a category. Oh, you qualify, you don't. Mm-hmm. We do that politically. It's like, okay, if I'm going to be a Democrat, then tell me everything Democrats are supposed to believe, and I can just turn around and spit that out. I'm supposed to be pro-choice. All right. And you see it on college campuses all the time. Young people come up and women are out there protesting, and somebody who's pro-life may come along. And I'm using this issue. I know that's a sensitive issue, but it could be any issue along those lines. You'll hear one side and go, okay, what do you think? Explain to me why you're pro-choice, or tell me. And they start walking through some of the details, some of the science, and you can tell they cannot articulate their positions. Mm-hmm. They will throw out things, talking points that they've heard on TV shows and stuff. And they're so passionate. You would think, well, this guy, they've really had to have dug into the information, and they're intellectually bankrupt. They can't speak to the issue. And yet they'll call you a fascist or Nazi if you oppose them.
Yep.
But that's the level we are. It's so much easier to say, this is what I believe, even if I don't know it. And I'm going to call everybody else a Nazi. Let me give you one good example. This is one of the issues that I think hurt Kamala Harris more than anything. I'd say there's about three. But one of those was her choice for VP. Now, here's why I think, and this is just my own political assessment, mm-hmm. and so it's worth absolutely nothing. But when you look, she picked Tim Walz out of Minnesota. Minnesota is usually a pretty reliable blue
state. Who, by the way, and again, we're not picking sides here, but I didn't see him one time in front of a microphone. I saw Vance almost every day. I did not see Walz maybe one time, and I watch a lot of news, but continue.
Yeah.
So whether you like him or not, he got FaceTime.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people were encouraging her to take Shapiro out of the governor of Pennsylvania.
Sure.
So at least the word is the left, the political left, was so pro-Palestinian that to pick somebody who was Jewish and his record was in support of Israel was too hot. And so she goes and picks this guy who has a very progressive agenda, mindset, or whatever. And so here's Shapiro. She could have probably carried Pennsylvania. And what would that have meant, or had somebody out there articulate some of those views, a more moderate view? But because the political left is so pro-Palestinian, and yet I see Jews like Queers for Gaza, LBGT, and I've seen literally people come up as men on the street and go, tell me why you are, why there's queers for, or LGBTQ, whatever, for Palestinians. And they're like, oh, because, you know, there's Israel's or Nazis, which is really ironic calling somebody from Israel a Nazi, since mm-hmm. that's who oppressed them. And then I've seen them go, well, you do know if you were openly gay in Palestinian and in Palestine or in Gaza, that it's okay. They would kill you.
Yeah.
There's several instances, videos of whatever, of people being thrown, gay people being thrown off the top of buildings. And you can see them go, oh, well, and they're saying, that's who you're saying. Hamas needs to be in charge, and Hamas kills gay people.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just see the intellectual process of going, wait a minute, I have no way to explain why I'm a gay American and I'm standing up for people who, if I were over there, wouldn't let me protest with them. They would kill me.
So you
see the big picture.
No,
of all
absolutely.
That.
And I do think if regardless of whether you like Donald Trump or not, I think he has, there's a reason why we've had, and we didn't have as many people vote this year than we did in 2020, which really surprised me by quite a bit, about 5 million people, which really surprised me. I do think one thing that Donald Trump has done in this country is created more of a, I need to know what I'm talking about before I actually get out there and vote. I mean, we used to have 30, 35, 40%. And, you know, when we only had a third of this country vote, and we had any problems. It didn't seem like we had any problems. Everyone seemed to like the president. We got along. You know, I mean, we had the Carter years, we had the Reagan years, we had the Bush years. And then all of a sudden, when everyone started having a voice, then all of a sudden we started bickering a little bit. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a good thing. You find out where you land in some things, because, I mean, obviously there's been a lot of things that have been rumbling underneath, been under the river for quite some time. And so now that you got 60% of people are like, go out and vote. And I was like, you know, we used to never have any problems with each other until everyone started telling everybody how they felt about stuff. And now all of a sudden, maybe that's a good thing. So, hey, great stuff, man. I love that. He is the CEO, of course, the Heart of Alabama Food Bank, does a fantastic job. Mission Mind, keep in mind your mission, your mind. It's the kind of stuff we talk about, politics. If you got any questions or any viewpoints on this, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We do get emails. We would love to see your emails, and we'll read them here on the air. info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You hear the show at least 5 days a week. And of course, it runs on TKR, thousands of viewers and listeners every single week right here on our YouTube page. Thank you, sir. And Bite by Bite is up next. All right.
Enjoyed it.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.